my parents knew that I would need a kidney transplant after I was born with one kidney, which didn't function very well and completely failed when I was 9 years old. So from a very young age, I went on dialysis and was on the waiting list for my first kidney transplant, which I was fortunate enough to receive when I was 11 years old from a deceased donor. My name is Simone McMahon and I'm the founder and chief executive officer of the Organ Donation and Transplant Foundation of Western Australia. My childhood as a result of waiting for a transplant was very different to your average 9 or 10 year old going to sporting carnivals or going out for sleepovers with their friends. I obviously needed to be at home every night so that I could be hooked up to my dialysis machine overnight, which was basically for about 11 hours. And that went on for almost 3 years of my childhood while I waited for the telephone call to come for a transplant. It was quite challenging going to school. I was very, very unwell at the time, and certainly, you know, making a full week at school was practically impossible. I was getting help with my maths homework, and at 9:20 p.m. the telephone rang and it was a doctor saying that a kidney was available. When I woke up in intensive care, the first words that came out of my mouth were, "I don't feel tired anymore." And I think that was because it was the first thing that really hit me, despite just coming out of anaesthetic and, you know, major surgery. It was still a tremendous difference that you could feel almost immediately. I've never really had that opportunity to meet the family of the donor that did give me that gift of life. I certainly know the difference that that decision made to my life and the things that I've been able to achieve as a result of that decision. So I think it's certainly a bond that you always feel within you, even though you don't personally know the family. I pretty much started volunteering almost immediately after my recovery from my first transplant. I was 11 at the time, and I think the very first volunteer thing that I took part in, I guess, was speaking publicly at the Penguin Speak Up Awards, where I spoke about organ and tissue donation. And interestingly enough, my speech was called Recycling. And at that time in the early 90s, everyone was talking obviously about recycling and, you know, the cans and the bottles and so forth, and many of the adjudicators looked at me like, "Oh, not another one." But of course mine was a very different recycling speech, and I spoke about the recycling, so to speak, of organs through organ donation and the gift of life that organ donation can achieve. And I was very fortunate to be selected right through to the grand finals, and from that doors just opened to speak more publicly about my experience and to really raise awareness about organ and tissue donation. The Churchill Fellowship provided a platform for me to take the organ donation advocacy to the next level and enabled me to travel to the US and the UK and Spain and work with a number of organ and tissue donation organizations to really, I guess, enlighten myself and experience organ and tissue donation and education programs at a completely new level. I've always been a West Australian, and I always found that there were many organisations around, community organisations, that promoted organ and tissue donation, but they were all national bodies, and I've been involved in many of them. But there was nothing actually set up that was dedicated only to West Australians. And Western Australia, I feel, has a lot of issues that is only unique to WA that impacts organ and tissue donation. One of the main issues we have in WA, where some of the other states don't necessarily have it to the extent that WA has it, is obviously the distance. Organ donation specifically has very, very limited criteria that makes donation possible. And in fact, only 1% of all people that die in a situation where they can actually be organ donors. WA is such a vast area, and so obviously it impacts significantly the location on where a person actually dies and whether they will be able to be a donor or not. And that's something that doesn't necessarily impact as much in some of the other states in Australia. my kidney transplant that I had in 1993 functioned well enough for me to survive without dialysis for a full 16-year period, which is wonderful. But unfortunately, after the 16-year period, my kidney function did start to decline and completely failed eventually, where I did have to return back onto dialysis to keep me alive. So for the past 7 years, I've essentially been on dialysis waiting for a second kidney transplant. That's where I am at the moment, is waiting for the phone call again to give me another second chance. A second transplant is always more complex than a first transplant for a number of medical reasons. There is very strict criteria to receive a transplant, and that's whether it's a first, a second, or a third. The health professionals in WA declined me from being a suitable candidate on the cadaveric donor list, which is the deceased donor list in WA. And fortunately enough, Queensland was willing to consider me as a suitable candidate to be listed. We all three, my parents and myself, left family, jobs, everything behind to live in a state where we don't know anyone. We've not lived outside of WA before. So it was very new and a big step, big challenges, but you sometimes have to do what you have to do to give yourself a second chance at life. And it was my only hope. So that I was very fortunate that Queensland was prepared to consider me for a transplant on the deceased donor list, because unfortunately Perth was only willing to accept me as a transplant candidate with a live donor. And all the family members that did come forward to be tested were unfortunately not ideal matches to go ahead with a transplant. We just arrived into a very empty two-bedroom apartment just outside of Brisbane, and we've been living there since while we wait for the transplant to happen. I have dialysis set up in my bedroom 3 to 4 times a week for approximately 4 hours. The machine obviously is what keeps me alive. It cleans out my blood until I can find a new kidney to do that job. Financially, it has been a struggle to move here. I mean, it's an expensive, I guess, journey to just leaving Western Australia to come here in the first place. And now, obviously, we don't know how long we will be here for in Brisbane. The call for a transplant could come tomorrow. The call for a transplant could come in 5 years' time. So, obviously, we don't know. It's the unknown that is challenging, because you're waiting for that phone call to ring. And you're away from family, you're away from friends, you're in a place where you don't know how long you have to make this your home. The deceased donor list is a national list, and I think generally speaking, if one state would be willing to accept you as a suitable candidate, then the criteria should be pretty much the same across the board, across all states. And I don't think anyone should be put into a situation where they have to leave their home, leave their loved ones, just to be given the opportunity to essentially to survive.